Okay, welcome to part two. I'm going to start doing part two again, my friends. But make sure you study it and make it worth my time. So I'll be quite frank. What I want when you listen to part two, I want you to comment and say, thank you, I learned a lot. It was worth the time, Dr. Ndichie, you spent. Because this is my time. And it's well spent if you take it seriously and learn. Because I'm the guy that studies everything, that suffers doing it. Because you have to wade through a lot of absolute bullshit. Most of what people learn in science is a lot of crap. It's meaningless. It's misdirection. Anybody that studies science over 10, 20, 30 years will tell you the same thing. 95% of what I studied was useless. And then when you bring this to the academic institutions, they tell you, well, that's what learning is. It's wading through a lot of crap to get to the pearl. I got to tell you something. To do that deliberately because you're lazy is a terrible, terrible way for us to organize knowledge. So I'm the guy that fixes that. And I work passionately to make things simple so you don't get the screw. So I'm going to start doing part two again, part one on the air formally, and then part two privately, and we'll just add it as an addendum. All right, no frills, no nonsense, just straight to it. I can use a freer tone, obviously, because this is off, you know, the formal radio. So, concept for you doctors listening, therapists of different sorts, general public, people just surfing the web, so on and so forth, welcome. Part two, how to silence dangerous genes. The screw that they're going to screw you with over more over the next decade or two than ever before in human history is simply this. You're sick because of your genes. Done. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it except pay top dollar for immunotherapy or some pharmaceutical idiocy or some surgery, drug, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is not true, thus the field of epigenetics. However, so you can be a smart shopper in the field of nonsense, meaning the minute we get a concept like epigenetics, what holistic alternative medicine does is it pilfers it. It mutates it, pardon the term, or pardon the pun, I should say. It mutates it into nonsense. You just don't flip a coin and decide to turn on the mechanisms that prevent deleterious, right? That's the way you say it. I'm going to call it deleterious, all right? I like that term, and I'm using it. Screw Merriam-Webster. How's that? I'm going to use the term deleterious, even though classically it's deleterious. It's lame. It slows up my rhythm. Merriam didn't have any rhythm, you know? I have rhythm. So let me use it. Deleterious. Deleterious genes. Genes that are dangerous. They take often years to express. When you talk about those chronic diseases that begin at 50, 60, 70, you know, cancer at the top of the list, but we've got Alzheimer's, we've got Parkinson's, we've got a whole slew of things like this. Your autoimmune diseases. The ones, oh, my dad had it, but he didn't get it either till he was 70, and now I'm dying of it at 78. That kind of stuff, that's usually, well, let me put it to you this way. That's a gene or series of genes that have hit critical mass in their expression, meaning they've all come together in the case that it's not a single gene mutation. They've all come together, and now they're expressing. You have to act radically to prevent that. So that's really what the moral of the story is at the end. So there's your punchline. But we got to go backwards so this stuff really makes sense to you. And to do that, let's get to the pictures. If you're listening to this, it's part two. It's on the website. So you have to be looking at the pictures. Or you're more likely to be. Picture number one. Take a look. DNL helix, draw it right. You have to understand fundamentally what we mean by DNA, nucleotides, purines, pyrimidines, phosphate group, sugar, purine or pyrimidine, the DNA double helical structure, the gene, the chromosome, histones, so on and so forth. You need to get fluent visually and otherwise with these basic components of what we ultimately then call DNA, because you're not going to be able to understand why and where and how and who. You're getting ripped off. You're getting screwed. Angelina Jolie got screwed. I'm sorry. Come on. Gorgeous woman like that. Forget the breasts. I mean, in a sense, so, okay, your breasts. But she took her ovaries, too. In case you don't know, ladies, that's your balls. All right? It's bad, man. It's bad. Okay, you know, and I don't want to criticize anyone's personal choice. That's her choice. It's none of my business in a sense. But man, I just wonder if she really had the full picture. You know? Hurts me. And that she was shortly thereafter on the cover of Time magazine. That is scary. Because I know who rigged that. I know who rigged that. That's Pharmaco. And I don't care if it's Pharmaco in the background, hidden behind Time magazine and the rest of it. But you don't do that and then go up there as Woman of the Year. Uh-uh. Not good. What's it tell your children? What's it tell everybody? So, you got to get the basics down. So, look at picture number two. There's your phosphate group. There's your pentose sugar. There's your nitrogenous base. Collectively, that is what you call a nucleotide. Those nucleotides are going to be matched with another nucleotide on the other side. So that nitrogenous base you see in the blue rectangle is going to be compounded with another nitrogenous base on the other side. Very simple. Let me show you a picture of that. Let's truck over to, I think picture six is good. Go pull up picture six. Come on, picture six, move it. Just give me a moment here. There you go, picture six, beautiful. Beautiful illustration here. Picture six, you see thymine? That's a nitrogenous base. Do you see adenine? Right at the top in the center of picture six. Gee, you know, this is fun. I miss the 1 hour shows. I got too buried with advanced physical chemistry, and I just could not take the time. But it feels so good to be able to get you some of this stuff that you're never going to get. When you learn this stuff in college and grad school, I mean, it is just buried in crap. Somebody's got to straighten this out. I elect me for you. Because you're John Q. Public and you will get the screw, man. And I'm telling you, it's just terrible. Beautiful people getting the screw, listening to all this AMA horseshit. Cut your breasts and ovaries because you've got a higher prospect of cancer. I mean, come on. Where are we going to go with that? All right, I won't go there. Thymine, adenine, those are your nitrogenous bases. You see those little dotted lines? That represents the chemical bonds. They're weak chemical bonds. They're not covalent. Wait a minute, maybe they are covalent. I can't really remember at the moment. Doesn't matter. Those are the bonds between the nitrogenous bases. Now I want you to just take that back and go back now to picture two. That blue thing, nitrogenous base, that's what you were just looking at. So each nucleotide which is the phosphate group, the sugar, and the nitrogenous base, that's a nucleotide, is bound to another nucleotide. And the collective structure of all of that becomes the double helix. The collective structure of all of that becomes the double helix. So let's go look at the double helix. And I think the best picture of that, let's get into picture 17. And there's your double helix. And you can go on and look at the double helical structure of DNA everywhere. You can see this. All right, Watson and Crick worked that one out along with Maurice Wilkins and really Rosalind Frankel also. Linus Pauling almost had it. So by the early 50s, they had this thing worked out, the Nobel Prize, blah, blah. The world changed. The world's changing again off this. There, that picture is the double helical structure. Now, look at that picture there. So again, what we're on is picture 17. Look at that double helical structure. And then consider what's in between those ribbons. So the ribbons are in a double helical structure. And then there's the things in the middle that have different colors. Those things in the middle with different colors are the nitrogenous bases. That's the nitrogenous base part of the nucleotide. So the backbone of the nucleotide, we say, where you see the ribbon, is the sugar and the phosphate group. And the bridge between each ribbon, that's where the two nitrogenous bases meet. And collectively, that takes the double helical structure. Now, along that double helical structure are commands. We're not going to get into that today. Our commands or orders, the sequence of those nitrogenous bases, adenine, guanine, cytosine, the sequence of those nitrogenous bases represents ultimately individual commands to the cell that the cell acts on. And when we can figure out how many of those nucleotides along a DNA strand tell the cell to do something specific, we call that a gene. So if you go into a cell and you take all this DNA and just lengthen it all out, like I said on the other show, you got about 6 miles. That's an incredible thought. Wrap your head around that. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. Think about that. 6 miles. Along the 6 mile strand, right now we can chart out about 20 to 30,000 genes. As I understand it, and that'll be changing because we've only got about 60%, 50% of your genome mapped out. We don't know what a lot of DNA does along that strand, if it does anything. 1952, we got the structure down. That's over 60 years ago. 67 years ago. So we're still young on this. Now, good, you do the rest yourself. That's the basic structure. Now, why is it so important to understand? Well, watch this. Yeah, okay, take a look at picture 5 just for the record here. See picture 5. Cytosine, thymine, adenine, guanine. Forget uracil for now. I don't want to get into it. The pyrimidines and the purines. Don't even worry. Just remember, what we call the nitrogenous base is cytosine, thymine, guanine, adenine. Uracil is for RNA. And those four nitrogenous bases, they can be read in a sequence, R-E-A-D, read in a sequence. So go to picture number four. Picture four, you see? Top right in the maroon, thymine, cytosine, adenine, guanine. When you say that, thymine, cytosine, adenine, guanine, right? That right side starting with the maroon, T, C, A, G. It's assumed, we don't say it, but it's assumed the thymine's bound to adenine, the cytosine's bound to guanine. And that's how the pairing works. Adenine bonds to thymine, guanine binds to cytosine. But when we read DNA, when we read it, when we say what's the sequence, we just pick one side, thymine, cytosine, adenine, guanine, and that's, you can just see four now, right? We don't care about the pentose sugar or the phosphate group. That's the backbone of the DNA. That's not what makes the command specific. What makes the command specific, what codes, we say, for your red hair or your blue eyes or your green eyes, is that specific sequence of nitrogenous bases. It's the specific sequence of nitrogenous bases. When we say mutation, suppose the code was T, Thomas, C, cat, A, apple, G, guanine. Suppose instead of T, C, A, G, it was T, T, A, G. The C got replaced with a T. That's called a single point mutation. Suppose C, A, T was replaced with A, C, T. That's a bigger mutation. And so there's different types of mutations. But even if you have some interruption in the sequence, some aberrant sequence, understand you have lots of repair mechanisms, DNA repair mechanisms working. I didn't get into that today. I can't do 2-hour shows. If you're interested in more of this, you come to my classes. You call the office, come and start learning. Why everyone doesn't do this is absolutely beyond me. If you're listening and you're in Los Angeles and you're not coming to my classes and you're interested in health, you are wasting your money. If you stick it out over 6 months to a year, you're going to accumulate so much functional knowledge based on me doing this. It is so worth your investment. I have 6 classes, basically, let's see, every 6 weeks into 52 is 9 times 150 for about $1,300, $1,400 across the year. You are going to learn so much. You're going to meet other passionate people. You're going to get protected. Get protected. This knowledge can protect you or you're going to be screwed. Done. You have no idea. I'm in the guts of it. What they're teaching in the schools, the college schools, the high schools, the graduate schools, doesn't translate into functional knowledge. It translates into functional nonsense. You have to be able to take the data and think with it, or you're going to be a clone at a desk with a PhD doing nothing but picking your nose and hoping someone from another country doesn't replace you at half the price once you're 50 years old. And that is the reality. I'm going to go to war on this, man, because we're not going to be making it. We are producing cream puffs for children. Our kids today, not that I care about our kids today in that soupy, sappy, sugary sense. The children. Why are the children any more special than grandpa? Mankind as a whole, a lot of good people don't deserve the screw. I don't care if you're 115 and you got 6 minutes to live. You don't deserve the screw. But unfortunately, we're not training people to think. I think. I know how to think outside the box. That's why I'm me. That's what I do in these classes. So get going with it. 714-850-1007. It's not school in the sense that you're tested and yelled at because you don't do the homework assignment. It's school in the sense of the joy of knowledge. That's the requirement to be in the class. Bring joy to knowledge, and you'll do great in my school. That way you can negotiate. I mean, this stuff gets intense. You have cancer, you go, your oncologist, they start the chemo cocktails, and they don't profile the genetics of the tumor. You don't even know what I'm talking about if you don't come to my classes. You have heart disease. They give you a coronary calcium CT scan, and it shows bad numbers, and they leave it at that instead of risking the angiogram. Boo-boo. Big mistake. You have a high probability of a coronary calcium CT scan of high occlusion in the left anterior descending, and your idiot cardiologist doesn't give you nitro. You're not walking around with nitroglycerin. I don't mean the nitroglycerin that makes bombs. I mean the nitro that vasodilates the artery during a heart attack so you don't lose heart function. See, you got to have the basic education so you can bring the passion. Otherwise, the man in white is going to cross his arms, look at you like a moron, and you're going to back down and you're going to get the screw. Okay? All right. So, thymine, cytosine, adenine, guanine, single point, double point, triple point mutations, you got it. The question is, can you prevent it? Now, what's behind that? Because if you're born with a C instead of a T or an A instead of a whatever, they're going to tell you you've got the mutation. What you have to understand is what I titled the show. How to silence the expression of dangerous mutagenic genes. Now it's sinking in, right? Good. All right, so to further your understanding, look at picture number 8. Picture number 8. Boy, this is fun. I missed this. Honestly, I missed it. If you missed it, tell me you missed it, okay? If you don't tell me you missed it, I'm not going to do it. All right? What do we have? I don't know, 2,000 people hit the sites each week? Send some information in. My sense is that you missed it. I'm just realizing that I'm doing it now. I missed it. All right, here it is. Picture number 8. Chromosome, supercoil, coil, nucleosome, histone. Right? Picture 8. Read it. Chromosome. That chromosome is just a string of DNA. Look at the chromosome. We have 46 because of mitosis. We pass on 23 in meiosis. Either way, mitosis, meiosis, who cares, schmosis. The point is, those chromosomes are just a string of DNA. They're a string of DNA. So we don't have to get hanky-panky here. Chromosome, supercoil, coil, nucleosome, histone, resets, which you're not looking at there, DNA, nucleotide, purine, pyrimidine, nitrogenous base, backbone, all this stuff to give you a migraine headache. No, you don't need one. Just understand the chromosome is ultimately a string of DNA. Now, what's the point that nobody tells you? It's all coiled up. And until it unravels, it can't activate. So you exist in varying degrees of coiling and uncoiling at all given times. That's the epigenetic slant on it. That's the epigenetic aspect to it. By the time you're making tumors, lots of different mutations that were induced perhaps not only from birth, but also through lifestyle, have finally uncoiled to the point where you are now expressing the deleterious gene. Or so Miriam doesn't turn over in his grave, not that he cares, but deleterious gene. There's a lot of play in there. There's a lot of fudge factor in there. Now, you don't take this and start running a rah-rah camp with a bunch of hippies at Venice going, oh, we'll control our own genomics. Just do a little wheatgrass and some enema. No, that's bonehead holistic medicine. That's where the scientists come in and go, hey, you're just a bunch of uneducated hippie boobs. And in a sense, they're right. But you see, the scam is they leverage that. They leverage that to make you bend over. And they always win. Almost always win. In the end, guys, most people, when it comes down with it, you are naked, undressed, inside out, and bent over a surgical table or a pharmaceutical option. I have seen this so many times. I've seen your health devotees and your you know, even people that give money to these causes. The minute the shit hits the fan, they bend over. And so will most of you. And that hurts me. It hurts me because, well, I'll be selfish here. It really means what I'm doing now is wasting my time. You got to consider that. This whole health movement, and in the end, when the shit hits the fan, you're going to do what your MD says and get yourself cut to pieces. Cancer's one classic example. So is heart disease. Minute you get one good hard punch in the face where your jaw breaks, you ain't getting up. You see, you're not getting up. That's why those of you who understand what I'm saying, you are my heroes. You are my heroes. You really are. And if you don't make it too difficult for me, you know, you're welcome to be afraid. And, you know, it's okay when you have your temper tantrums. But if you don't make it too difficult for me, man, I am behind you when you are in these very, very difficult moments. Strokes, heart attacks, expression of autoimmune disease. Your life sucks. You know, you can pretend it doesn't suck, but it sucks. That is not what you came here for. A life of pain to disease is not what God wants. I'm sorry, man. I ain't buying that. That is not God's plan. That is the devil triumphing in this plane. And if you can do something about it, that's your job. So, you know, praise to you, man. So there it is, the chromosome to the DNA, all these supercoils, nucleosomes, coils, histones, this, that, the other thing. It takes time to unravel. And it unravels and ravels normally quickly. I mean, there's so many angles on this. But there is a protective force to the expression of a deleterious gene. That's why you don't get it usually when you're 15. Your dad had polycythemia vera, or your uncle, or a heart attack, or diabetes, and you're coded for that. In other words, your genes are more likely than that guy down the street to suffer from that. I mean, that's the bottom line. Why didn't you get it at 20? Why did you get it at 60? That's where you can play a huge influence. That's more epigenetics. But you're going to have to get radical. You have to get radical. And that's the whole theme to this show. We're not going with straighttalk.cc anymore. We're going with radicalhealthsolutions.net. Medici Medicine is radical. Because I don't see the other stuff work. Yeah, okay, fine. You cleanse it out, you stretch it out. All this little health stuff you do. You know, you go to your rah-rah conventions. And everybody looks at each other with this complacent smile. Like you're protected. You're not protected. If your genes are coded, you're going there unless you really turn it around. I've got 400 suggestions. Just hit the shows. I mean, in a nutshell, there we are. You're listening for the first time. You want to know ultimately what to do. That's what you can listen to the shows regarding or come to the school. All right? Look, picture 13. Types of disorders. Single gene disorders. A mutation causes the protein product to be altered or missing. Yeah. You get that nucleotide sequence, that nitrogenous base sequence, and that sequence is off. Well, that gene then is going to code for the wrong protein. If you have the wrong protein, which is another discussion, but if you make, finally, a car, so if your nucleate, if adenine is there, instead of guanine or whatever, that's going to code for the building of something. The building, when we're making the car from the information from the DNA, and the car is made incorrectly because the materials we use are now defective. The protein becomes defective because you got a different amino acid. Then that car doesn't work right. Done. So you don't think right, you don't look right, you don't sound right, you don't hear right. Wherever you got screwed up is the deal. Now a gene is a string, it's a string of nucleotides, right? And we can say, oh, you're only messed up at one gene. But we can also say, we looked at that chromosome, that big X thing, with a centromere in the middle and a bunch of telomeres on the caps, each side being a chromatid, all that stuff. You know, that's what they make you memorize that in school, and I guess it's cool. I mean, I had to do it, and then you forget it, or you don't forget it, but it's not the point. Point is that arm of the chromosome, that could break off. That whole arm can be messed up or missing or distorted. Then you got bigger problems. So there's all sorts of problems to which the body protects you against. But, you know, my forte, you know, I'm not here to cure, you know, birth defects. I'm not here to do that. You know, God bless them, Down syndrome and stuff like this. That's not my bag. It's not my interest. My interest is more autoimmune disease, cancer, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, chronic degenerative diseases that you get after 60. And the reason that's my interest is you come in all effed up and loved too. You come in hopefully perfect and loved and this, and then it hits the fan, right? Beaten, raped, thrown into walls, starved, abandoned, criticized. I mean, look at the world we have. And then you work it out if you're brave, and if you somewhat succeed at it, you're 40. And then there it is, just by the time you're 50 or 60, when you find out what you came here to do, so you can put it all together. Now you're too old to do it because you're sick. I don't like that. It excites me. So what I'm interested in, that I think you share an interest in, is how to make sure those genes don't express at 60 or 70. And the solution's not cutting out body parts. Believe me, my friends, this is coming down the pipe. I have no doubt this is coming down the pipe. The machine will make this information work in a way to make the pharmaceutical companies richer. See? Your only hedge against this is to be smart and get educated. 15, go to picture 15. Point versus gene mutations. Point mutations only affect a single nitrogen base. Okay, it's called a point mutation. That's what I was referring to earlier. Then there's gene mutations. Chromosomal mutations affect entire or sections of a chromosome. Multiple genes are affected, of course, because you have a longer strand of DNA. If you get that, you're getting it. You're understanding it. All right, good. Picture 16. Go to picture 16. That was a good one. We're having a little... It's not coming up here. I don't know what the deal is on that. Hang on a second. Okay, looking at picture 16. Four types of genetic diseases: a single gene, multifactorial, chromosomal, and mitochondrial. I'm not going to discuss mitochondrial today, all right? Single gene. There's some nucleotide sequence in some segment of the DNA along that 6-mile strand that they know codes or orders a certain thing to be done that gives you a certain trait. And if it's single point, then there's one nucleotide that should be there that's not. It's been replaced. If it's just a bunch of problems along one gene, well, it's still a single gene mutation. Suppose you're born with that. That doesn't mean it's going to express until what? And that's the epigenetic part. It's not going to express until it unravels, right? That unraveling is linked to acetylation, deacetylation, methylation, demethylation, a whole bunch of other things. That has to do with your overall health, and that's going to be my point. As I said on the first half of the show, the NIH giving you money to figure out exactly what's going to control the unraveling process or the expression. Yeah, they're going to come up with one thing like exercise. Then they're going to come up with another thing like weight. Then they're going to come up with another thing like emotions. In the end, they're going to come up with everything, but they're never going to come up with anything because no one's going to pay them. So that's why epigenetics is already dead. It's already dead. Multifactorial. Genetic diseases caused by a combination of environmental as well as mutations in multiple genes. You may have a bunch of genes that are all screwed up, meaning what? There are nucleotide sequences. They're nitrogenous base sequences. They're purine pyrimidine sequences. Were good, and then they're no good because there was a mutation caused by environmental factors. And or it may affect not just one strand that we designated as one gene, but multiple genes. You know, the body's got a lot of repair mechanisms that work naturally. Has the repair mechanism been overloaded? Overloaded because what? Because you're getting hit with so many mutagenic factors that the body's repair mechanisms can't keep up. There's a thought. Or not that you're just producing mutation faster than you can fix one aspect, but because what? What controls the unraveling is working against you rather than for you. And where are you going to end up with that? You may end up in the kingdom of the Lord, meaning it may be about your energetics. Your electromagnetics is what controls all of this. Go find a double-blind placebo study to prove that one. No, that's a statement from a guy that works with sick people. That's empirical. If I stood up to a team of geneticists and made claims like that, they'd throw rocks at my head. If I were to simply say, listen, let me tell you what's controlling genetic expression of deleterious genes, or deleterious as I have now changed it for the world. If I were to stand up and make that claim and say, has to do with your sympathetics versus your parasympathetics, whether or not you fast, whether or not you actually move chi, whether or not you can shift to center, whether or not you get bile, whether or not you've passed the point of precipitation into solubility and you don't have a lot of kidney sand and bile sand and so on and so forth. And I just kept going. The question is, where's the research? Where's the studies? This is where you get screwed. You get screwed. This is where science trumps you. This is the load of shit they hide behind. This is where, if you have other levels of intelligence at work, you will challenge the mechanistic model through which we determine reality. This is where you have to go to your intuitive faculty. This is where you have to go to your senses. This is where you have to shift the methodology through which you determine the truth. And this is a language I am perfecting. This is where the Force lives. This is what the Jedis were about. This is what ancient medicine was built upon. And this has been polluted not just by conservative, analytic-minded, right-wing thinkers, stinkers, mechanistic Newtonians. They have not been the only ones to pollute this. Our own camp has polluted itself. I want you to get this in summary here, that what I just said to you, which is about bringing other facets of your intelligence to knowing truth, has been polluted as much by the holistic professions as it's been polluted by your classic conventional medical associations. And what I mean by that is, you can't turn what I'm talking about today into hocus pocus. So to say to you, you've got this tendency to have breast cancer because you tested positive for the BRCA1 and 2 mutations. To say that you have to turn that around by going down to your local GNC and buying astragalus or a few other anti-mutagenic herbs by claiming that since you take resveratrol and you take curcumin and studies show that they're anti-mutagenic, that you're doing something that's really good, or by doing a hydrochloric acid cleanse, which is anti-mutagenic because it tends to methylate. That's the kind of absurd crap that's just as guilty of betrayal as anything else. You have to understand that holistic medicine is real, but you have to get radical. And that's where I'm going to leave you, because this has been a 45-minute show on top of the 30 minutes, and that's enough. But if you're more interested in getting radical, you've got the other shows, and you've got my school, and you've also got my office number, 714-850-1007. So if you want to get on the bullet train, make the appointment with me. That's it for today. God bless you. I will see you next Saturday. As I said, we're going to go back to doing it like this. Ta-ta.